All right, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's awake this morning. Sometimes feels like I'm not, seems like. Anyway, I've heard a lot of testimony here this morning, a lot of talking and about what I'm going to preach on this morning, actually. It's the power of the Word of God is what it's about. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I'm going to be over in Hebrews 4:12. Everybody knows this scripture. Probably everybody's a priest on this scripture before, and I'm sure all of it. It's Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse. And before you get there, I want you to, I'm going to have you stand whenever you hear in just a minute. But sometimes I ask you to stand for the in reading and volunteering of God's Word. And I don't know if I've ever explained to you why I feel led to do that. But it's over in Nehemiah. It's 8, 5, and 6. And this is where I go back to whenever I'm thinking of this. And it says this, when Ezra opened the book, and above all the people, when he opened it, all the people stood. And it says, Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. With lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And that's where I get that from. And it's not something that makes it, you know, I'm not trying to make you stand and for something of me. But I'll go back to that scripture. Like I said, there is power in the Word of God. There's absolutely power in the Word of God. And as a matter of fact, there is power in the spoken Word of God, actually. Amen. So if you would this morning, if you're able, in honor of God's Word, would you be able to stand? Let's read Hebrews 4:12 together. Let's read that together this morning. Very, very, very familiar scripture. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that tells us about the power of God's Word, does it not? Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, to this morning, Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd be with this service this morning. Be with me, Lord, as I break the bread of life this morning, Lord, as I try to endeavor, Lord, this morning to preach God's Word. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd be with me, Lord. Put the anointing upon me, Lord. I pray, Father, that hearts would be opened, Lord. And Father, we will give you nothing but the praise for that, Lord. And Jesus, we ask it all in your name. And amen. You may be seated. And amen. Now, for me to stand up here and tell you that this book is special, you know what? That's an understatement, really, if you really want to think about it. But this book is very special. As a matter of fact, they estimate... Now, I want you to just grasp this, that 8 billion Bibles have been sold, and they estimate it because they really don't know for sure, but 8 billion with a B has been sold in down through time. So it's not a lack of people having Bibles. It's not that. It's a lack of people truly understanding the Bible. But it's not enough just to believe this book is a special book. And you know what? It's not enough just to believe that. You know what? Because it's more than just a collection of stories. It's more than just talking about David and Goliath. It's more than talking about the ark. It's more than all that. And sometimes we get frustrated on that kind of stuff, or fixated on it. But I'm telling you, it's more than just that. It really is. When the writers of Hebrews said that the word is quick, the Greek word there is used as zon, Z-O-N. You want to mark out in your Bibles because this is important. And it has two different meanings. It has two different meanings for this word. It not only means that the word is alive, that there's life in it, and this book is a living Bible. That's what it is. It not only means that, it also means that it is life-giving. Did you know that? So this Bible that we read out is alive, but also it is life-giving to all of us. It's life-giving. The word is also, that word also means to revitalize. It means to sustain. It means to energize the believer. So whenever it says that this word is quick, brothers and sisters, there are times in our life we all need revitalized. There's times in our life we all need energized. Well, this is where we can get that from. The Word of God. The word will make that which was spiritually dead, it'll make it alive. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, the night I got saved, I heard the Word of God. And the Bible says, and you has He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Whether we know it or not, anybody that is not born again, you're dead. You're spiritually dead. You're heading for a place that God never intended for you to go. But once you heard the Word and you accept the Word into your life, He makes you alive. Makes you alive, but also not on top of making you alive, brother said, He will give you the opportunity to give you a life-giving life out of it. So once you've been spiritually born again, the Word is able to sustain you in growth. That's what it's able to do. He's saying it is alive and it is active. That's what it is. It is, and again, I may say, this is the greatest book that has ever been written. You want to know why it is? Because God is the author of this book. It's not, you go down through it and you look at the people, and it's broken up. At one time, this book was not broken up into what it is broken up now. It was written in letter form. But at one time, if you go down through and read it, this is the mind of God. Through men of God that had listened to Him down through the years. You know, and God paints a self-portrait of Himself all the way through this book. From Genesis to Revelations. If you want to see, if you want to know God, you need to get into His Word, because He is all through this book. He paints Himself a self-portrait in it. King David said this in Psalms 103:2. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Forget, do you know that this Bible is full of benefits in it? It is this awesome book right here is full of benefits. And the Bible is filled with those benefits. David went down through in the 103rd Psalm, and he gave you a few of what those benefits were. I'm not going to go into them today, but he says it forgives all our iniquities. Do you know there's a difference between an iniquity and a sin? Did you know that? A sin may be done with the air of omission that you may not even realize per se that you're doing it. But do you know what an iniquity is? An iniquity is whenever you're committing a sin, and you know that you're committing a sin. And David said, he forgives us of our iniquities too. Isn't that awesome? He said it heals all of our diseases. And I can go on and on and on. And brothers and sisters, I can tell you this morning, that this word that we have right here will endure when the whole world is burning, because the Word of God shall endure. Even as nations and leaders and ideologies come and go, we know this. We know down through history, there's been the Persian, there's been the Greek, there's been the Roman, there's been the British empires. They've all come and go, but what has stood still? The Word of God has stood still. It is still there for each and every one of us, and it'll stay that way because God says that. The Word of God says, the grass withereth, and it says the flowers fall, but the Word of God endures forever. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Things come and go. People come and go. Other books you might read impress you. They might impress you. You probably have read books that maybe impressed you a little bit. But did you know that that book there will change you? That book not only impresses you, but that book right there can change you. If you let it change you, it will change you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you've heard the scripture before. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There was a time in my life, and I guarantee you in your life, that you weren't the same person that you are now that you've been saved. All of us have, listen, I don't care if you were a good person. I don't care if you were a bad person. When you got saved, you were changed. Because the Bible says you became a new creature. That's absolutely the truth right there. Amen. This book is a chain breaker. if it can change your habits, it can break your past, it can make a sinner forsake his ways. And as the prophet Isaiah said this, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This book can also take the pain of death away. Amen? Yes, it can. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This book tells us the destiny of every born-again believer. It tells us in it, one day, every righteous grave on this planet, every righteous grave on this planet is going to bust wide open. Why? Because the Bible tells us that it is one day. That's what it says. Every righteous grave will bust open one day. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And what? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Listen. We have all lost loved ones, and I'm sure we've lost loved ones that have known the Lord. And praise God, we have a hope, knowing that one day they shall not stay in that grave, that one day that their spiritual bodies will come up out of it to meet their souls one day. And not only the righteous dead, but all those who have the Holy Spirit flowing through their bodies. Then we which were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that an awesome promise? So shall we ever be with the Lord. That right there should be enough to make you shout the house down right there. That right there should be enough. This book assures us that one day sickness and death and hunger and poverty and loneliness and bigotry will be no more. This book assures us that. And you know what? I believe because the word is powerful and it is quick and is alive, I believe that today because the word tells me that. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. We've all buried our loved ones at one time in our life. Maybe they've went through sickness. Maybe they've suffered with cancer. Maybe they've suffered with some other disease. Maybe they've suffered in so many other ways. I'm telling you, that Bible there tells me that one day that'll be no more. The same God that made heaven and earth back in Genesis tells me back in Revelation, he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth one day. Wherein never was any sin. And praise God for that one day, brother. I am looking forward to that day to where I don't have to get a phone call to tell me that this one's got cancer or that this one's suffering or this one died. Because you know what? I'm looking forward to that day. This book is our spiritual and moral compass. If you had a compass in your pocket today and you pulled that out, Luke, which way would it be pointing? It'd be pointing north. Brother said, when you open this book, it points to God's morality right here. This is where morality comes from. I told them Friday night, never, never, never let this world be your moral compass. This world will let you down. I'm telling you, right here is your moral compass, right here. Listen, it always points you in the right direction. For the individual and for a nation. My Bible tells me thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Also for the nations. Any nation that forgets God are doomed. And that includes this nation as well. Psalms 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. If you pull that compass out, it points north. If you open this Bible, it points to the morality and to the goodness and the mercy of God. This Bible will always point you to God. This Bible has 3,000 promises in it. 3,000 promises. And can I assure you this morning, my name's not Donald Trump, but I can tell you, promises made, promises kept. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Promises made, promises kept. Because we serve a God that will keep His promises. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. I love this. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God, by the glory of God by us. Amen. Say that with me. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and all the promises in Him are amen. Promises made, promises kept, because He's that God. You know what? You need a friend this morning. You need a friend this morning? The Bible tells me there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it even goes farther than that. Do you know that? In Psalms 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Amen. There's a lot of kids out there today that are being raised by other people than their mothers and fathers. And maybe they think they ain't got no hope, but I'm going to tell you what, this Bible gives them a hope. This Bible gives them a hope. It gives them something that sometimes... Listen, this book offers hope in a hopeless world. This book offers joy where there is none. In Psalms 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. I learned a long time ago to put my hope in God. I learned that a long time ago because I understood that men will let me down. I understood one time that my job will let me down. I understood one time that sometimes my health will let me down. But praise God, I put my hope in one where they said, my hope in God, where my hope's at. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 6:19, we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, hope that is both steadfast and sure. Amen. We have that. Psalms 3:3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. Do you know what the lifter of my head means, honey? It means that God is sitting, this is a translation. It means that God is sitting on the throne and He lifts down His head and He puts His arm under your chin and lifts you up. That's what that means. That's the kind of God that we serve. You want to talk about hope. You want to talk about joy. Listen, the encouraging us in Hebrews 12, therefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against you? Who can be? Let them say what they want. Let them do what they want. Listen to me. I serve a God that is for me this morning. And He is for you. Amen. There is a hope in the living Word of God. There's a hope. You may be thinking to yourself, I see no way out in this situation. I can assure you this morning that through the Word of God, as a preacher, that God can make a way because the book says it can. In Isaiah 43:16, you need to mark this in your Bibles. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way. There are times in our life when we think there is no way out. He makes a way. This book offers joy to the believers. In Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in the presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures evermore. But did you get that? In His presence, it says, there is fullness of joy. So many times, you know what, when we're joyless, we're not in His presence. Psalms 35, for His anger endureth but a moment, but His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Brother Romans, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, our hope and joy, it can always be found in the presence of God and in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's where our hope and our joy can be found. This book can only help you if you read it. I mean, and I'm not just talking about haphazardly reading it. Listen, I read something the other night when I preached up on Friday night, this was hard for me to believe. 73% of all preachers do not read the Bible only to study for a sermon. They admitted it. 73% of them only read the Bible when to study for a sermon. Where's your growth? His word is there for us to grow. That's what it's there for. Listen, I'm here to tell you. This book, if it will not help you unless you read it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and whosoever comes to me will never hunger. The Holocaust survivor, Saul Wineglass, said this. He was in I can't think of the name of the place, but he was in the big one during the Holocaust. Starts with an A. What was that called? Anybody know? Huh? Auschwitz, yes. He was there. He said he watched people starve to death day after day. He watched them. He said he could watch them and he knew when they were going to starve to death, Greg. He could watch them. He said he's seen a person laying almost dead, and they give him a piece of bread, and they'd get up out of there, and they'd last one more day, then they would die. So he knew. He said in his book, he said the signs of starvation, he said our irritation would set in, the first thing. Then they would become joyless, then depressed, then lifelessness would set in. Jesus is telling us the source of spiritual food. When a Christian refuses to read their Bible, you're spiritually systematically starving yourself. If you do not want to read this Bible, first you'll get weak, then you'll get irritable, you'll have no joy, you're sick in your soul and in your spirit, then death comes. Then you're one of those people who will say, church is not like it used to be. The preacher is not preaching right. The singing's not right. The deacons aren't deacon. The ushers aren't ushering. The people aren't shaking my hand. Listen, the point is when you feel the world is wrong, maybe it's you that's wrong. Just maybe. And you need to change your diet. You need to change your diet. 40 hours of secular TV and radio and reading magazines a week will not get you what putting your nose in this thing will get you. Amen? I don't know where you're at here this morning. You may be starving to death spiritually. But you know what? God, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. You know what? He said he was the Word. So if he's the Word and he's the bread, I think I want to read that, don't you? I think I want to eat some of that. Stop watching the things that aren't getting you where you need to be. Get away from negative people. I am the bread of life. Whosoever shall come to me will never hunger. This book has salvation as its message. From front to back, you'll find Jesus in this book. Amen. Jesus is his focus. Jesus is his focus. Without salvation, and I'm going to lay it out there to you, without salvation, you won't understand this book. And you say, well, preacher, there's all kind of different things out there, all kind of things I can get, different types of Bibles. But listen to me. I don't care what you get. If you're not saved, you're still not going to understand what God's trying to get across to you. You're not going to understand it. Because without being born again, that's why to understand it, you must be saved. Remember the story of Nicodemus? And I say this quite often, but Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, the Greek for that means born from above, by the way. That's what it means. Born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He, and if you read down through there, Nicodemus didn't understand one bit what he was talking about. He said, can a man go into his mother's womb again and be born? That was his insight. That was his insight. But you know what? You may laugh at that, but there are people today that have that just about that same kind of understanding sometimes. And why? Because you know what? They're not born again. Let me say this as they come and get a song. Because you guys come and get a song, Horny, please. There is salvation all the way through this book. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, went to that cross and died that you and I and whosoever will can have salvation. Right? And if we go to hell, if anybody goes to hell, you're going over the blood of Jesus. You're going over the finished work of Jesus. It isn't God that's putting you there. You are putting yourself there. There is salvation from the front of this book to the back of it. And all that he wants us to do, the brothers and sisters, is to come and accept it. Come and accept it. Praise his name this morning. I'll tell you what, there is strength in this book. There is love in this book. I could go on and on and on. But can I tell you something this morning? Can I tell you? Without you coming up here and knowing Jesus, without you getting your nose in it, that's what he wants. That's what he wants for all of us Christians. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I'm offering this up here. This altar is open. If you're here this morning and just need to get a closer walk with him, this altar is open. No one is going to judge you for coming up here wanting to draw closer to God. If anybody does, shame on them. Shame on them. And especially if you're coming up here to find Jesus as your Savior, there'll be people up here praying with you.